I think about it this way. Jesus told his disciples to go and tell of what they had seen and heard. We're his disciples, that we have the same calling.
That's right.
We need to go and tell them of all that we have seen and heard and all he's done in our life.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morningstar Bright Lights Podcast.
Welcome to the show dedicated to helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world. My name is Jared DeNaro, host of the Morningstar Bright Lights podcast, and to all the bright lights out there shining bright with the light of Jesus Christ, thanks for listening in. So glad you could join us. Today's conversation is with Corrine James, Massachusetts native and author of the new book, A Life Worth Saving, a collection of memoirs from Corrine's own life story. As an introduction, Corrine asked me to read to you from the back cover of the book. Listen to this. A Life Worth Saving is about everlasting love, forgiveness and grace, redemption, restored relationships, and freedom that only comes through Christ. It's about my journey to Christ, one that took me from sadness to joy, from hopelessness to redeemed, from confusion to truth, and from fear to faith. He has taken me from being fatherless to becoming a daughter of the King, the Most High God. Through this story, you will see a God that has walked beside me, never leaving, carrying me through to everlasting life. I've been healed, redeemed, and chosen. I now walk in the hope of the one who knew me before time began, the one who created me and formed my innermost being. I have hope in the one who calls me by name. I am his daughter, and he is my Abba, my father. We all have a story. We all have a testimony. I pray this one brings you to a deeper understanding of who Christ is and his everlasting love for you. I think New England could benefit from a testimony like that. Corrine and I talk while sitting in the Bible section of our new Sutton, Massachusetts store at 140 Worcester Providence Turnpike, Route 146 in Sutton, Massachusetts, and you might hear a customer or two in the background. Nevertheless, our conversation went well, and I hope that you enjoy it the same as I did. Corrine will be back at Morningstar Sutton for her book release event on August 19th, 2023. This episode is brought to you by Morningstar Christian Bookstore, New England's local full-service Christian bookstore with locations throughout New England. Stay connected to Morningstar on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and check out the new and improved MorningstarBookstore.com as we slowly roll out the new platform. There, you will find a growing selection of Christian books, Bibles, and gifts, as well as addresses for our stores and eventually information about upcoming events. Now, let's hear about how God is using this local author to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and encourage people in their walk with God through her testimony. Here is my conversation with Corrine James. Thanks for joining us. We're talking with Corrine James. She is a Massachusetts-based author of the book, A Life Worth Saving, which is a memoir that highlights how God redeems each aspect of our lives for his good purposes. Corrine, I'm so glad to be with you here today.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be sitting across from you.
I want to hear about this book and all that God has been showing you and teaching you and preparing you to show others through your life story. But before we do that, I'd love to hear how you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
First of all, I just want to thank Morningstar Bookstore for partnering with me with this book, getting the message of Christ out there. How I came to know the Lord really began drawing me to himself probably when I was about 13. Mm-hmm. I had a friend in middle school who, every time I slept over her house, we had to go to church with her mother. And I loved it. And her mother was always so gracious because I would always have so many questions. I'd be poking her during service, during the worship, asking her what everything meant. I was brought up in the Catholic Church. And so when I was about 15, I started taking classes for my confirmation. And I remember sitting in those classrooms and this teacher was so wonderful. And she would tell us all about Jesus and everything he did and that you died on the cross for us. And I remember sitting there and I felt inside of me, this question kept coming up. Who is this Jesus? She keeps talking all about him, but I really don't know who he is. So I remember raising my hand and asking that question, and it kind of stumped her a little bit. And she was like, well, and she started telling me about all these things he did again. And I go, no, I understand that, but who really is he? Like, who is Jesus? So she stopped again and then started to tell me how he died on the cross for my sins. And I heard her, but I kind of was just kind of drifting off into the distance. And I thought to myself, she's just not understanding my question. She's not understanding really what I'm looking for. So I left that day, remember walking to the car thinking, I'd really like to know who this Jesus is, yeah. You know? And it was so funny because the next day in school, there was a girl sitting next to me and I looked over at her desk. And on her book, she had written, I love Jesus all over it. And I was like, here we go again, Lord. What is happening? Who is this Jesus? So that's where my curiosity started from. And then later on in life, probably when I was 19, is when I actually became saved. And that's when all of those things from my past came back to me. And I really started to pray and seek God, like, are you real? Who really are you? You know, and had those questions and was crying out to him because of where my life had gone and the direction, the wrong direction it had gone. And in that moment, he just spoke to me right in the car. He told me to get out of the car and to go call that specific person that used to take me to church 6 years ago. And it was just so great how God, I feel like, has pursued me my entire life. You know, he's always been there waiting for that time. Like, he's got our life on a timeline. He knows everything about us. He knows every spot and where we're going to be and how he's going to just bring us, you know, right back to him. So that's how I got saved. I was 19 and in a car, and I remember arguing with him thinking, I'm not going to call her. She doesn't remember who I am. It was like 6 years ago, and he kept saying, nope, get out of the car, pick up the phone, get out of the car. And I did. She immediately handed the phone to her mother. She goes, wait a minute, you need to talk to my mom. And again, her mom was so gracious and said, you know what? I lead a 12-step Christian codependency group. Why don't you come meet me next week and we'll go? And I went there the first night. Everybody there was older than me. They were like in their 50s, 40s, and I'm 19.
Oh,
and
wow.
I know. But that's how my whole life with Christ has been. I've always seemed to be in Bible studies with older women or older people. And anyway, so I left there in tears, just totally receiving who Christ is and his love for me and his redemptive power. And I'm a new life in Christ, and that I had a Father in heaven who loved me, that nothing I did was irredeemable. So that is my story.
Wow.
Now I'm being saved. Yes.
Yes. Amen. What an incredible testimony. Praise God. I love hearing that. Just this genuine desire to know the person of Jesus, not just as someone that you read about or someone that you study, but someone that you know.
Yeah, and it is. It's an intimate relationship with the Lord. And unless you continue to seek God in all things for your entire walk with the Lord, you know, always questioning, always asking, always seeking, that's where your faith grows. That's where your relationship grows and that intimacy in the Lord grows. You can't have that if you're not in relationship every day, just talking and wondering and sometimes being angry at God and saying why, you know, and just all those real emotions that we have, whether this joy or sadness, bringing them all before the Lord. That's how our relationship really gets solidified.
Yeah, God interacts with us and he invites us to interact with him.
I really believe what he's taught me was and is truly a lifelong journey. You know, it starts when you're saved, but it never stops. Like, he's always changing you, you're always growing. The relationship continues to get deeper and stronger through the good times and the bad. And I feel like relationship takes time. Mm. And just like with any other relationship, God's the same. If you don't put the time into it, you know, you don't get that intimacy that you so desperately need with the Lord. So how did he prepare me? Just by really allowing me and teaching me how to always be open and honest with him. And bringing people in my life that I could be open and honest with. You
yeah.
know, like I shared earlier, like I remember my husband saying to me, why are we always in groups with all these older people? But I believe the Lord did that on purpose, you know what I mean? To grow us and so we can learn. I mean, we need to have older Christians to look up to, mentors that we can grow and learn from. And I have to say that when I became a Christian, I was in a really solid church with some really great mentors that were there, that they were a phone call away. You know, you could call them and say, what does this mean in the Bible? What do they mean by that? Or getting prayer and then learning to pray and then, you know, open up the door to, you know, being asked to be a part of a woman's ministry, you know, and that kind of stuff. So that's how God really prepared me. It's just teaching me how to be humble, how to understand that we're all in different places in our journey, just to support each other and to love each other and to just really be honest with God.
You know, that's something that I believe people struggle with from time to time, especially if they're young in the faith, having that personal and intimate relationship with God instead of just seeing him as a distant deity that you kind of pray to formally on occasion when you need something or when things aren't going well. But to know him personally, to believe and to understand that you have direct access to God and the ability to talk to him whenever and wherever you are, that's extremely important.
And to know that in that, that there is really hope and healing.
Mm.
I find that sometimes a lot of people may hide things from God or they may struggle with something and they don't want to bring it out in the open. They don't want to talk about it, but it really inhibits their freedom, you know, and their redemption and their healing. Early on, I was just taught that, or that's just who God created me to be. I'm just a very honest person.
Yeah.
This book is very honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I laid everything out there just the way the Lord would want me to. And I feel like that will be an encouragement to others to not hide from their struggles, you know, because that's really where the Lord can bring about freedom in our lives.
Yeah.
And if we're not being honest, then we're stuck with that heaviness inside of us that can never fully be healed and restored.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the book, let's talk a little bit more about A Life Worth Saving. You, at some point in your life, felt this prompting to put this book together, a memoir from your past experiences. Can you talk about what prompted you to get started on writing this book?
I remember we had just joined a new church, and I had been praying about where God wanted me to serve. The church was big on service. We had done youth ministry, we had done women's ministry, my husband was on the worship team, all of this stuff. We're going into a new church, we're like, okay, Lord, what is it that you want? And he kept dropping in my heart a book. And I kept pushing it aside. That's crazy. What do I have to say? I don't even really like to read books. Why would I write a book?
Right.
You know, what do I have to say?
Yeah.
And so all of those things kept going on in my mind. So I pushed it aside. I pushed it aside for a few years and joined other things in the church, like the youth group and whatever. And I went to my husband one day and I said, you know, a couple years later, I'm really wondering what God has for me next. Where, you know, what am I going to do? And he's like, well, did you pray about it? And I'm like, I have. And so I finally put words to the thoughts that were in my head, which is very difficult. I don't know if anybody knows that when the Lord starts speaking to you about something, it's kind of safe when you keep it to yourself, but when you put it out there in the open, you're like, it's really hard to cross over and,
sure.
and to just put that to words, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I sense that I'm supposed to write a book, you know, kind of questioning. And he goes, absolutely, you need to do that. And I was taken aback a little bit and I thought, okay, Lord, this is from you. You know, it was just the confirmation that I needed. Now, I would love to say that I just sat down and started to write the book, but that's not exactly what happened. You know, I had to go through my own insecurities. Like, what do I have to write? What do I have to say? Or what are you going to use me? What, you know, what have I gone through that nobody else in the world hasn't gone through? You know, that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
So I remember, you know, just seeking him and praying and saying, okay, Lord, I hear that you're calling me to do this, but I need to know why. I need to know what it's about. I don't even know what to call the book. And immediately when I asked that question, A Life Worth Saving dropped. He just laid out the name of the book. And immediately I was like, okay, Lord, I am grabbing hold of this and mm-hmm. I am going to move forward.
Yes.
So he was just faithful throughout, like he is, you know, throughout the entire process. He was truly faithful to it all.
So obviously you wrote the book, and it's memoirs of your past, things that you experienced in your life, just thinking back on them and understanding them as the Lord gives you wisdom and as He reveals things to you about what was taking place there. How do you believe this book, based on your journey, could help others in their life with Jesus on their journey?
When I was praying about the book, the scripture that the Lord gave me, which is the foundation of the book, is in Psalms 91, 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Amen.
The Lord reminded me of a picture when He gave me that scripture, and I had seen a drawing on social media a few years before, and it was a picture of a lion. It was like this majestic lion, beautiful, and he was kind of laying, sitting with his face turned up towards heaven, his eyes lifted, and you could see the glory of the Lord shining all around him. But underneath him, there was this little girl who was tucked in underneath his chest, safe, with her eyes closed, just resting, you know, just leaning on him and just resting. And really what the Lord showed me was that was me. That's all of us. Mm. You know, throughout our walk with the Lord, it can be tough. We go through some things, but if we can just find that place, that safe place in the Lord, we can rest in Him, knowing that He's got it all covered. So
yes.
This book is about learning and knowing that we are safe in the Father's arms, that we, as we bring things to God, as we bring our hurts, as we bring our struggles, as we bring our healings, as we bring everything towards the Lord, He's a safe place for us. He's our safe haven. Like, we don't have to worry. Like, there's some things in this book that I debated, put it in or not. Should I take that out? Should I not put that in? And I just really felt the Lord say to me, I called you to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's gonna read that, and somebody's gonna come to Christ. I'm gonna be able to bring somebody through to healing because of that. So don't stop, you know, picking and pulling.
Wow.
You know, this
wow,
is
yeah.
the story. You know, this is the story. You need to put it out there.
Whew.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a challenge. I'm sure you went back and forth about a number of these things. It's very personal.
It's very personal.
And when you're
very
that
personal.
Vulnerable, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, I can understand that completely. How much do you share
exactly.
about what went on in your mm-hmm. past, but if the Lord is telling you, hey, I'm gonna use this.
And I know because I was brought up and I understood the Lord had shown me years ago to be careful who you tell your story to. Like, you wanna make sure when you're going through it that it's safe.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And they're not gonna, you know, take it and go somewhere it doesn't need to be. You know, you need to make sure that you have trustworthy people because it's an honor for you to share your story with other people.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to feel safe to be able to do that. And so that was a little bit of a struggle because I'm like, Lord, I know, you know, that that's what you showed me years ago. But as my life has gone through and healing has taken place, the Lord is like, yes, but now you're at that place. Now you're ready that you can put these things out there because in that there's going to be healing. It's not about just telling a story. It's about redemption in Jesus. It's about
Amen.
Healing.
Yes.
And like I said earlier, there's nobody out there who cannot be redeemed by the Lord.
Amen. That's right. Let's talk a little bit about the format that you chose to get all these stories across. What can people expect when they begin reading this book, like in the way that it flows?
The memoir is written in a storybook form. So the Lord brought me back to four. I was about four. I remember that was a place that I felt safe. I remember sitting on the swing and I remember singing about my mother and my sister and just how much they loved me and all of that beauty that's yeah. in us.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, through life, I think we all will experience times where something will happen, something, you know, will come forward that comes and breaks that peace. Just God is so good because later on in my life, I think my daughter was about 9 or 10, and I went to call her in for dinner, and I could hear her. So I kind of stopped at the door, and I started to listen. She was jumping on a trampoline, and I could hear her singing. And she
yeah.
was singing about how much she loved her sisters and how much her sisters loved her. And in that moment, I just truly felt the presence of the Lord bring everything full circle. Like, here I was at 4 feeling safe and loved, and here my daughter is at 9 having that same feeling, and just where God has brought me from and where he's brought me to and how faithful he is. Now, truth be told, I don't know if my daughter at 9 will have to, you know, go through some, you know, intersections, you know, where that piece will kind of be cut. It doesn't matter, because I know that the Lord's got her, and I know that he has a plan, and our lives aren't perfect. Mm-hmm. Things are going to come, and we just got to, you know, hold tight to the Lord, snuggle in safe to him, and know that he's got us.
So good. Yeah. That perspective is going to be helpful to a lot of people. I think all of us can relate to that struggle of knowing that there was a good time, and then thinking back to a moment when that feeling was challenged, even shattered. And those are the tough things of life, because those are some of the branches in our journey, you know, the forks in the road. It's encouraging to talk with people about those times, because it's far easier for us to relate to each other in our struggles than it is to relate to each other in our victories.
Well, I think that's what's part of this book, is that there's a lot in there, but it's all about redemption, you know, and freedom and glory and healing and all of that great stuff, grace and mercy. This book brings hope. It brings hope that we all live this life and it's not perfect, but we have hope in Christ. We have hope in healing. We have hope in redemption. So that's really what I believe the Lord wants to bring forward in this book, is that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter, because God's waiting with his arms open wide to receive you. You know, you ask for forgiveness and the Lord is there.
Amen.
You know, and I feel like sometimes people may have a little bit of trouble with that, but in that is so much freedom.
Yeah.
You know, in repentance brings so much freedom.
Amen. This gets into some of the challenges that I think you've alluded to in your work when it comes to Christians allowing God to redeem the events of their lives. It's really easy to say, oh, this happened to me, or I did this, and I'm so ashamed. I'm depressed, or I have anxiety because of what happened to me or what I did in the past. But like you've been saying, God redeems these things for his good purposes. Amen. Can you talk a little bit about those challenges that you experienced and how God redeemed them?
I feel like, you know, Christians do have some challenges, I believe, and they run the gamut. Some of them could believe that they're fine and they don't need to change in this certain area or that certain area. And that's a battle. And then some of them may feel that they need to be, but they can't be because they've always been like that, and that's how they are, and they're not going to change, and all of that. And I feel like that puts God in a box, because really what he's looking for is humility and truth. And the easier we learn to do that, the easier he can come and redeem all of it.
Amen. Yes.
I feel like the other challenge that we may have, which I spoke about earlier, is just being honest. You know, we feel like we might be judged. Or you feel like, well, I'm a Christian, so I have to, you know, trust God's word and believe what he says and hold on to that. And all of that is good, is all good and true. It's all correct. However, there's nothing like getting that specific word from the Lord for that specific moment.
Yes.
You know, it's good to renew your mind, and it's good to meditate on scripture, and that's all good. But it's also really good to bring it to the Lord and be honest and get that specific scripture, that specific word from the Lord for you at that moment to hang on to. So that's why I would encourage people to not be afraid, you know, not to be afraid to bring those things to the Lord and to find that person that they can trust, because really that's where that healing can take place. And to not be ashamed, not be ashamed, you know, like, he's our Redeemer.
Yeah. Well, the safety in that isn't there.
I remember when the Lord put the book on my heart, the challenge I had, and I think many of us have too, is when the Lord begins to speak to us, you say, why me?
Mm-hmm.
Why me? You know, and that's really the enemy holding you back from becoming all that God has created you to be. You know, I could have stopped and never wrote this book, and that's not me. Oh, I can't do that. You know, we really need to submit to that, trusting that the Lord is going to bring you through to the other side.
Right.
And have a redemption story to it. So I would just encourage everybody to stop asking why me and start saying why not me.
Yeah,
why can't God use me? He created me, you know, for a purpose.
Amen.
So just to kind of submit to that and allow the Lord to do that in this setting free, redeeming victories, encouraging others, all of those things is what's happened when we can submit and trust the Lord with that, with our stories.
I love that. Why not me? Why not me? This is the God we serve, the God who created us and the God who had a plan and a purpose for our lives. So I'd love to get a sample, just a little taste of this book. I know there's so many different stories encapsulated between these two covers. You cover a lot of ground in this memoir, but maybe summarize one or two of those stories and talk about how God worked in each one for his redemptive purposes.
The one that comes to mind, and I think a lot of people nowadays struggle with this, is fear and anxiety.
Mm.
And that was something that I was dealing with for a very long time, maybe 8 to 10 years. It was a long struggle. And I remember going to church one day, and I had just been praying for God to free me of that. You know, why am I going through this? And, you know, he uses all things for his glory. We were standing in worship one day, and the song, The Lion and the Lamb, we're singing about the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion of Judah. And as I was praying, I got this vision from the Lord. He's always so faithful in answering our prayer. Sometimes it takes us a little longer than we want. But while we were singing, he showed me this vision, and I was standing there in the light. There's kind of darkness all around me, but I was standing in the light, and I could look forward, and I could just see, you know, the light kind of turn to darkness. And I looked and I could see something coming towards me. And I kept looking, and as they came out of the darkness a little bit into the light, I noticed that it was fear and anxiety.
Mm.
And as I'm watching, I could see them come closer and closer and closer to me. And then all of a sudden, they kind of stopped. And then they started to move a little bit more cautiously, a little bit more closer to me. And as I'm watching, I did not feel any fear. I didn't sense any kind of anxiety. So as they came a little bit closer, being a little bit more cautious, I saw the Lion of Judah, the Holy Spirit that lived inside of me, just rise up from within me, open his mouth, lion, and just let out this huge roar. And it was like a roar that could be heard in the heavenly realms. And immediately, fear and anxiety just fell to their knees. Just fell to the knees, bowed down, arms out wide, head to the floor. And it was just, you know, I get goosebumps. It was just such a release of who Christ is. His Holy Spirit lives in me.
Yes.
I don't need to be afraid.
Nope.
I don't need to have anxiety. The enemy wants us to believe that he has some kind of control over us. He doesn't. The Holy Spirit lives in each of us. And God is always fighting our battles. And all I needed to do was to stand. I just needed to stand. That was it. He did it, you know, and just putting my trust in him. So that was one that was a really big breakthrough, is the reality that Satan has no hold on my life and that I walk around with the Holy Spirit in me every single day and he's fighting those battles.
Oh, wow, what an incredible memory that is. It's true though. I tell people the only person you need to fear is God.
And it's a holy fear. It's
yes.
a reverent fear. It's not like you're afraid to tell him how you're feeling. It's that you just love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
You have such a reverence for him. And he loves us so much, you know, like you don't want to disappoint him, but it's not a fear of disappointing him.
It, yeah.
It's knowing that you have safety in him.
That's right. If fear is part of our design and God is the one who occupies our fear space, you know, nothing else can scare us.
Yes, the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And that's something that I write about in the book. I have a chapter about fear and anxiety and just how the Lord had brought me through that, reminding me constantly that you cannot have love if there's fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, but love conquers all fear, and to stand in that. And then also just going back to that vision that I had in Philippians 2:10, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth.
Amen.
So just that picture of fear and anxiety bowing before the Lord is exactly what the scripture tells us.
Yes. Speaking of the Bible, I'm sure that your understanding of the Bible and how God has taught you through the scriptures over the years informs your approach to this book. And sharing our testimony is so important. What has God shown you in the Word about sharing your testimony? And how do you think that perspective and those scriptures can help other people be open about who they are and what God has done to redeem them in their life.
Romans 10:14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody telling them? I think about it this way. Jesus told his disciples to go and tell of what they had seen and heard. We're his disciples. That we have the same calling.
That's right.
We need to go and tell them of all that we have seen and heard and all he's done in our life. He also brought me to a scripture in Psalms that says, one generation commends your work to another, and they will tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. That's exactly what we're called to do. And with this book, I think about, I know it's kind of silly, but I think about the generations after me. Like, I have three daughters. And then someday they'll have children, and someday their children are going to have children. And so, and I think about this book, and I think this is going to be passed down to generations. So, you know, maybe one of them at one point of their life will be seeking God, or will have that feeling like they're missing something. They're going to pick up this book that was on the shelf from three generations ago. Say, I want to read this book about my great-great-grandmother, you know, and to find that hope in Christ and to realize, wow, God is faithful. You know, God does redeem all things, you know, and I think about that generation of Christ being passed down, and I look at that book like this, you know, not only for my family, but for other people and where they're going through in the next generation, and how it's important to write those stories down because it's going to impact somebody now and somebody later.
Amen. Absolutely. It's like anything else that we produce for God's glory. He has an immediate purpose for it, but then a greater, far-reaching purpose. Which leads me to this question. How has what God has shown you about your life been part of the work that he's done in and through you to advance the kingdom of God here in New England?
There have been different times in my life that the Lord's called me to share different parts of my testimony, whether it's one-on-one or in a group, whether I was sitting in a Bible study and somebody's sharing a struggle and the Lord will just prompt me, okay, it's time to share that, you know?
Yeah.
It could be a time where the Lord's been working with me on something, whether it's raising children or being a mom or anything like that, forgiveness. And as I'm getting to the end of it, I'll get a call or, hey, would you, you know, do a breakout session for the women's conference coming up? Or, hey, you know, would you mind, you know, speaking to these women, you know, in this age group? And it's always funny because it's always like, of course, because I know that I just walked through this and exactly what you're asking me to do, I already know what God wants me to say. Mm. So it's, God always prepares it ahead of time. And so it's always just pretty much a confirmation.
Yes.
You know what's happening. And at the end of it, when you get through to the end, you know, okay, God's going to use this. And then you get this phone call, you know, and just those, you know, even in those big situations like that, if you're speaking to a lot of different people, there's always that one-on-one connection through the Holy Spirit. You know, there can be one thing that you say that's going to really hit somebody and really make a change and really feel that connection with that Lord and that healing take place. There was one time that I was doing a conference and there was this girl sitting by herself, and I had done questions at the table because I'm really big on intimacy with people, getting to know people. You know, sometimes we go to these big conferences and you get a speaker up there, you listen, and then everybody leaves. And I feel like there's a void there,
yeah.
You know, that we need to kind of close that gap a little bit and really get to know people, you know? And yeah, God does a lot of work one-on-one, but there's a lot of work that can be done in the asking questions and the working that out. You know, what did you think about this? So anyway, this conference that I did, I had questions on the table. So after I spoke, everybody could just sit, have some coffee, talk about these questions, share with each other. And there was one girl who was sitting by herself. And I'm a pretty insecure person. I know people can look a different way than they really are. And I was like, oh, she's sitting by herself. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to go sit with her, you know? And I sat with her and she just poured out her heart and healing just took place right then and there, just being able to share the truth of who she was in Christ.
Yeah.
And that the world that was coming against her and putting ideas and thoughts in her head were not of the Lord, you know? Mm-hmm. And to and for her to stand and to receive that, again, not through me, it's through the Holy Spirit, you know? Me just moving forward in obedience. It's not that I didn't want to talk to her. It was my insecurities, you know? It was my insecurities of sitting one-on-one, what am I going to say? And I think too much we do that, we focus on ourselves,
yeah,
you know, instead of saying, okay, take yourself out of the equation, go. This is God's calling, you know, to move forward. It's about Him, not about you. And I see her life now, and I am just so blessed when I see her on social media and just to see what God has done in her life just from that one point, just from that one spot of obedience. Like, it doesn't matter if you're talking to 50, 75, 100 women. If you go to speak to that one person and it makes a lifelong change for the Lord, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I feel like somebody needed to hear that, especially in New England. We want to stay kind of isolated. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the snow, maybe it's the mountains, but for whatever reason, we are very particular about who we let into our personal life and our personal space.
And we have so much social media that we can hide behind.
Yes.
Oh, just text me, you know, or just send a message, you know. Well, I'll pray for you, you know, but the actual face-to-face, mm-hmm, you know, meeting and meeting that need, mm-hmm, is really important to me, because I know that's what I need. I need relationship. I think we all need relationship.
We do.
You know, and breaking down those walls and really stepping into that and listening to other people and hearing their hearts and realizing when they need to connect,
yeah,
and how to connect them.
Yeah. God has healing for us, and He has provision for us. And if we can rest in that, then we are given a platform to minister to others, knowing,
amen,
that the Lord can take care of our needs just as much as He can take care of others. That's so good, so good. Just being a vessel of truth and love for people. I love it. All right, so I'm curious, what are your top three books, people, resources? So who would you point people to if you wanted them to grow in being a person of testimony?
Well, this is probably not going to be the answer that most people expect, because it's not as, well, it's the Bible, but it's not a specific book or a specific person or a resource. It's really an encouragement to get in the Word every day, to spend time with the Lord. That's where we grow. That's where our intimacy is. And honestly, I'm going to say, get yourself to church.
Mm.
Get yourself to church. Get in the community with other believers. That's where the working out our faith takes place. And just as a side note, I know that there is no perfect church. And I know that there is no perfect Christian person, least of all us. So we're all broken, we're all imperfect, and we're all on this journey, you know, and we're all in different spots.
That's right.
But you know what? We need to get in community with others.
Yeah.
You know, it's that rubbing, it's that growing, it's that learning, you know, that we need to do. So those are what I, you know, that's what I would encourage. And the one thing that the Lord showed me in my quiet time with the Lord, and I just want to, you know, put this out there, maybe it is a little bit of an encouragement or help. He taught me first, before I even opened the Bible, was to journal and pray and get all of my worry, all of my thoughts, all of whatever I was going through from that 24 hours, you know, whether it was praise or whether it was worry, to pray about that, bring it to the Lord right away. And then when I was able to open the Bible, everything was cleaned out and I was ready and able to receive what He had for me in the Word. I think sometimes, like, we open the Word and we're wrestling with so much stuff that we really can't even hear the Lord. You know,
that's
we're
true.
Reading these words on the page, but we're not receiving them. So really what He showed me and taught me was to really pray and give all of that to the Lord. And once you open the Bible, you can hear. And now through that, you're gonna notice that He's gonna answer some of those things that you prayed about 2 minutes ago.
Whew.
You know, because
yes,
you're not so full of that. You're free to receive from Him. And then in the end, always ending with thanksgiving, you know, knowing that, thank you, Lord, for speaking to me. Thank you that I can trust you and know that you're taking care of this and just all of that. So that's what I would say moving forward is kind of just a guideline on really who God is and how much He wants relationship with us and how really that we can get there. You know what I mean?
I love it. What a great exhortation. And yes, I totally agree.
There is another thing that the Lord put on my heart. The word, of course, is active and living, and he speaks to us through it. But not only that, I've heard somebody say the other day, don't you wish that Jesus would just sit across from the table with you and tell you what to do? And I kind of laughed to myself when I heard it, and I thought, he is. Mm. That's literally the gospel. That's why he said to his disciples, I can't stay, I need to go. Why? Because I'm sending you a helper who's gonna be with you always. I mean, you had to walk with Jesus when he was here on the earth. Like, you had to be physically with him, and he couldn't be everywhere at once. The Holy Spirit is with us every single day. When we sit down at that table with our Bible open, he is across the table from us, or right next to us,
yeah.
You know, drinking a cup of coffee with us. But just having that communion with us, like, he is there, you know?
Yes, I feel like somebody needed to hear that too. Well, we've talked about so much. And I believe that anybody who picks this book up will not only get a bird's eye view of your life, but also be challenged to consider how God is moving in their own life and redeeming the difficult and the unexpected things that they face. If you could share one thing to engage, equip, and encourage the Morningstar Bright Lights community, the everyday Christian, as well as the greater church in New England, in our nation, in our world, to shine brighter as lights for Jesus Christ, what would you tell them?
Again, this is a very simple answer. Take the time to listen. Take the time to pay attention to the people that are around you. Be present, be humble. There are a lot of people, hurting people out there, who really need to hear about a God who loves them. It's not about rules. People get so stuck on the rules. Oh, Christianity is so full of rules. It's really not. It's about a loving God who loves us. You know, and he wants to protect us, and he has all these guidelines, you know, because he loves us. It's not because he's, you know, looking down from heaven, you know, just demanding all these things. That's not the God we serve. We serve a God who loves us.
Yes, amen. Corinne James, thank you so much for talking with us about your new book, which is set to be released soon, A Life Worth Saving. When can we expect to see the book available on the shelf?
Well, I'm excited, like I said, that Morningstar is partnering with me, and we are looking at a book launch. Probably, it was supposed to be sooner, but we had to do some extra edits. We're looking at maybe the end of summer, maybe the beginning of fall, so it's a little bit later than we expected. However, this has been a long process, and I'm trusting the Lord, and I know that he's gonna bring it out in a perfect time. It's gonna be announced on social media. I know there's an email blast that's gonna go out. You can follow me on my social media. I'll keep everybody posted. We just got the cover accepted and moving forward with that. So there really is just, I think, one more edit that we're doing, and then it will be in production. So I'm super excited about that. The book also will be available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, hardcover, soft color, and ebook. So just praying that, you know, whoever feels led will pick that up and really be blessed by it. I'm really happy to have people read this story, knowing that the Lord is gonna touch them, knowing that there's redemption and healing in Christ, knowing that something in this book, at least one thing, but I'm sure there's many more, that is gonna hit, you know, that's gonna really hit home and really bring healing and hope to so many people. I really trust and believe that God is in this, and I know that his spirit is written through those words, and they're just gonna reach out and touch so many. Just as a side note, when you get the book, on the author's page, the last page, I put down my email because I just felt like that was important. If anybody ever wanted to reach out, you know, there's an email there to get in touch, so I am open to that as well.
So cool.
Relationship. That's what it's about, relationship.
Amen. That's right. So we'll have the information in our show notes for the availability of the book and how people can get in touch with you. Corinne, thank you so much for talking with us today. We can't wait to hear about all that God will do through this book, A Life Worth Saving, and the testimony that he continues to write in your life.
Is it okay if we end the podcast with just a blessing over all of our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's just pray. Lord God, I just want to praise you and thank you for the time that we had here today. Father, I just lift up every single person that is listening to this podcast. I pray a blessing over them and their families. I pray your Holy Spirit fall on each and every one of them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray they sense the presence and your love. I ask for healing where there needs to be healing. I pray forgiveness where there needs to be forgiveness. I pray that each and every one of you knows that you are redeemable by the Holy Spirit. You have not gone too far. You are loved. I pray that right now, each and every one of you knows that there is a will for your life. I pray that you take hold of that in the mighty name of Jesus. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. If you sense a nudging right now by the Holy Spirit, I pray that you submit to it right now, knowing and trusting that He will carry you through to the finish line. Father God, I praise you and thank you for all you've done and all you are going to continue to do through each and every one of us. In your name be the glory. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Special thanks to Corrine for joining us. Her new book, A Life Worth Saving, will be available at her book launch event Saturday, August 19th, 2023 at Morningstar Christian Bookstore in Sutton, Massachusetts, 140 Worcester Providence Turnpike. Links to more information are available in this episode's show notes. Morningstar Christian Bookstore has an ever-growing selection of books, Bibles, gifts, and more available with direct-to-home shipping on our website. You can browse the selection and shop online at morningstarbookstore.com. Bright lights, together we shine brighter. If this podcast is engaging you, encouraging you, and equipping you to shine brighter in your circles and spheres, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morningstar Bright Lights community grow as we share solutions for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you know someone who is shining the light of Christ in their unique gifting and planting with a heart to bring New England forward in evangelism, ministry, and the abundant Christian life as disciples and disciple makers, we would love to hear about them. Send suggestions for featured guests to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com. Well, that's the end of our time together today. On behalf of the entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thanks for listening. Join us again for our next episode, and remember, together we shine brighter.